Morning, church. Welcome to St. John's Live on Sunday morning. Really happy to have all of you with us, whether you're here in Jackson Hole where we live and work and worship and minister, or if you are elsewhere in the world, we're really happy to have you join us this morning for worship. Couple of announcements to make before our worship begins. These beautiful flowers that you see behind Brian and me and Kirsten this morning are given in honor of Jeff and Jane Deming's 50th anniversary. So Jeff and Jane, we are wishing you a very, very happy, love-filled anniversary. We wish that we could give you a big hug, but I suspect you know people that love you have provided these glorious flowers for us this morning. So we are thinking of you and sending you our blessings this morning. Something to make our local crowd aware of is that on Saturday, May 30th, we are hosting a blood drive. The American Red Cross and St. John's Episcopal Church have teamed up together to collect donated blood to be used throughout the region. I would just let you know that blood supplies are low right now and needed. You can sign up for an appointment to come give blood at redcrossblood.org. And in order to find our event, you just type in our zip code here, 83001. We have about 12 people signed up for that so far and a total of 53 slots, and we want to fill all 53. What we know is that just a pint of blood could save up to 3 people's lives and touch so many more. So we would love it if you had the time and you have the desire to come and donate blood with us on Saturday, May 30th. And thanks to Carol Harvey for getting that organized for us here in Jackson. After a moment of silence, we'll begin our worship.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us whole so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. This is a reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good If suffering should be God's will, then to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's say together Psalm 66, verses 7 through 18. Bless our God,
you peoples. Make the voice of his praise to be heard, who holds our souls in life, and will not allow our feet to slip. For you, O God, have proved us. You have tried us just as silver is tried. You brought us into the snare. You laid heavy burdens on our backs. You let enemies ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out into a place of refreshment. I will enter your house with burnt offerings, and will pay you my vows, which I promised with my lips, and spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble. I will offer you sacrifices of fat beasts with the smoke of rams. I will give you oxen and goats. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I called out to him with my mouth, and his praise was on my tongue. If I had found evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. But in truth, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld his love from me.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. So last week, this gospel is a little bit confusing as a standalone. And last week we had the first portion of the gospel, and this week we have the latter portion. And last week when we talked, we talked about that concept of dwelling or abiding, and how God can become rooted in our lives. Or we also talked a bit about how some of those things are the mechanisms that it takes for us to feel as though we are abiding somewhere, or we're dwelling somewhere, that we're laying down roots and participating fully in life in a certain context. And this is that second half of the portion. And what you heard last week and you hear again this week is there's some anxiety among the disciples. Their connection to Jesus has changed, or it's going to change.
It's
This comes from that piece of John's gospel that's called the farewell discourse. Jesus is saying goodbye, and there's some anxiety in the hearts of the disciples as their own connection to Jesus changes. And so what we hear in this second portion that we have for today of the gospel is Jesus trying to explain with words what that connection looks like, how he will still be connected with the disciples even after his death, his subsequent resurrection, and his ascension. And you can hear in the words, both from last week and this week, the anxiety that provokes. And I was trying to think a bit about, well, where does that land in our lives? And I was remembering this story of taking Jade to summer camp for the first year. Jade was 11, I think. 11 years old. Camp was a huge part of my childhood experience, something that I loved, and though it's not for every kid, I knew that it was going to be a good experience for Jade. But that first time that you go away and you are separated for a month from your family and what you know is somewhat anxiety provoking. And I remember Cindy and I drove Jade over to Du Bois to Teton Valley Ranch Camp, and we drove in, and you spend, oh, maybe half a day or so setting up, making her bed, making sure her trunk's in the right place and she knows where to find things, putting things away in a drawer, making sure she's introduced to her counselors and maybe a few other friends. But in that exchange that was happening there, I could see quite normally some fear in her eyes. And I think that natural fear was just, you know, for her entire remembered lifetime, you know, from the day, that incredibly magical day when someone handed her to Cindy and me in that hotel ballroom in China, up until that very day, the way that we were connected and the way that we loved each other was very obvious. We were just always around each other, and the language of love is a part of the life of our family. But, you know, Jade was about to spend a month away from us. And I know that when that happens to human beings, when the circumstances of our loving relationships change, it's somewhat anxiety provoking.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we hear in the words of Jesus. Certainly I know in our experience in dropping off Jade at summer camp, Cindy and I coached her a little bit. You're gonna have a great time. You're gonna make tons of friends. We're gonna be here on the last day to pick you up. It'll be a glorious day. We'll be so happy. We're gonna miss you, of course. That's representative of our love. But that doesn't quite make that anxiety go away.
Right.
And so I was remembering that story and thinking about our human connections and when the context of our loving connections change, how anxiety provoking that can be.
Yeah, for certain. As you were describing that, what I was wondering about was Was there a little bit of anxiety on you and Cindy's part too?
Yeah, definitely. It was one of those things. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Jade would. She's probably gonna kill me for telling this story anyway. But she would kill me if I didn't say. Like, yeah. I think Cindy and I were more worried than Jade was. Confident that everything would be fine, but definitely nervous. And it was that time where we were just, you know, you're like, okay, like, this is going to happen today, so it should happen now.
Yeah.
Like, time to go.
Yep.
Bye, Jay. Love you. You know, let's go. Cindy, let's go.
Yeah, let's get out of here before we fall apart.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. It's a great story, and I loved it. And I have kids, too, who are grown now. And so I was thinking about the sort of the process of letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And how difficult that is, you know? And how when we love someone, like in the way that we love our children, mm-hmm. or perhaps our best friends or our partners, how difficult it can be, and yet how necessary it is on some level to let them go.
Yes.
At some point in our lives and in our relationships, it's inevitable, it's healthy, we can't not do it.
Yeah, and I think when, you know, whether we're talking about the gospel and what Jesus is trying to explain to the disciples, or we go back to this experience of Cindy and me leaving Jade, when we return a month later, we find that our love is more expansive, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not that it was reduced or that it was put on hold, which I think is what the disciples are worried about. You know, is this it? Is it over? Are we no longer connected to this rabbi, to our teacher,
right.
to our brother?
Right.
But then in that returning moment, no. Our experience is expanded. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. We're going to, you know, the mechanism of expansion is going to be your relationship with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's reminding us with words, you know, you are in me and I am in the Father. And, you know, we're all pushing this thing together so that we can see that it remains connected. But you just kind of have to do it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And then there are some people, some places, and some things in our lives that when we let go of them, when we let go of that loved one who dies, when we leave that place that we have loved and perhaps never go back to it again, somehow yet the love is still alive.
Yeah.
You know?
There's an abiding or a dwelling, an indwelling
mm-hmm.
of that experience or that person or that place. Different, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we become grief-stricken
mm-hmm.
for some time, maybe a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, the disciples had 3 days of grief. Deep grief, I'm sure. And here Jesus is telling them that even when I'm gone, even when you can't touch me and I can't touch you and soothe your aches and have this loving experience that we're having now at this last discourse, even when I'm gone, that love will never die.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. And that has been my experience with the people that I have lost. Once I have gotten through that grief, however long it took, and it just takes however long it takes, right, to go through that grief, what was left was pure love.
Yeah.
And I think that it's so beautiful that Jesus is kind of describing that
mm-hmm.
And then we, in this too, we have one of the few times when Jesus really kind of describes the Trinity. He doesn't use the word, but he's talking about how the Father is in him, he is in the Father, the Advocate will come, and that's gonna, you know, bring everything together. But the key for me is, and I am in you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that the Trinity is some thing out there. The Trinity is also in us.
Yeah, we're a part of that dance.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you know, just as we're talking about this, I'm thinking about, I was just in the vesting room prior to our time this morning, and I looked and saw that March 8th was the last Sunday that we worshiped as a whole church. And thinking about that experience of being in church one Sunday and then being out of church the next Sunday, I experienced a lot of anxiety around that. I came here, I sat in Hanson Hall, just to make sure that those who were not aware that we wouldn't be worshiping together had somebody here. But it was a very anxious time, and the subsequent weeks, I feel like I've become less anxious. And I really look forward to the time that we come back together under this roof or outside on the grass, probably more likely at first. But church has not been reduced, it's been expanded.
Mm.
And we have people all over the country who are a part of our church experience now. We've added members to our family almost quite literally.
Yep.
And we're thinking differently about church is not, you know, this solid stuff, it's the people.
Yeah.
And we are deployed across the valley and over the hill in Idaho and down the canyon in Lincoln County.
Yep. Well, the church is very much alive outside of this beautiful room. And I do also want to acknowledge that it has been a bit like a death too,
uh-huh.
Not being able to be together here. And yeah. That a lot of people, me included, have experienced some grief around it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes without saying, but
it's a good reminder around, like, maybe we're not quite ready to tell the expansive story yet, or not all of us are.
Right.
Like, we still want that restoration.
Yep.
You know, and that's that in-between time when Jay's in camp, you know? And,
oh, yeah.
You know, still apart, still working this thing out and trying to see what happens. Mm-hmm. I know that we need to wrap this up, but I remember picking Jade up at camp on that last day, and after all the activities on the final day, we got back into the car, and Jade was in the back seat, and we put her trunk in, and Cindy and I were driving out, and I said, Jade, is this the best thing you've ever done? And she said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Teton Valley Ranch Camp was the best thing that she's ever done. And she's devoted to that place, just as she is devoted to her family,
mm-hmm.
You know, her brother and her mother and me. And now she has an expanded family.
That's great. Love is not a finite thing, is it?
No,
there's plenty to go around.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Oh. Homework. Did anything occur to you while we were...
Yeah, I'm thinking that our homework this week might be thinking consciously around those transitional experiences of our lives, and asking ourselves, was the love that I feel in my life reduced, or is the love that I feel in my life expanded? Mm-hmm. Just to take a little assessment, a little discernment, maybe going away to camp, maybe going off to college or graduating from high school and getting that first job, getting married, having a child, whatever those transitional moments are, and just ask yourself the question, examine it, think about it a little bit, feel the feelings that come up in your heart, and ask yourself, was the love in my life reduced, or was the love in my life expanded? My expectation would be at least 8.5 out of 10 times it was expanded.
Yeah, and can I tag something onto that too?
Absolutely.
And also, if it's not too new and not too raw for you, perhaps think about the people and the places that you have lost in your life, and think about, try to recognize, is the love any different? I'm guessing it's different, but I'm guessing it's also not any less.
It's still there.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Sitting here tonight, by the fire.
Now let's say together the Christian affirmation in a time of uncertainty. We believe in God the Creator, who reminds us in the drawing of every new day that new life is possible. We believe in the wonder and grandeur of a universe where the whole of life is called to live in harmony of care. We believe in Jesus Christ, who prayed in the mountains of peace and brought us the word in mustard seeds and fig trees of blessing, whose footsteps touch the earth in love, and who invites us to follow. We believe in the Holy Spirit, whose wisdom often lies embedded in ancient peoples. They trod lightly across deserts and lived gently among plants and creatures. They reached respectfully for the mystery, which is God with us, the one who never leaves us or forsakes us. We believe in the everlasting hope, the great calling of the people of God, the Church, for the transforming of all things, which is possible in God. Amen. With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. In this time of confusion, vulnerability, and uncertainty, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. That our spiritual leaders may serve your people in ways that demonstrate your love and healing power. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. That the leaders of this nation and all others in authority may be guided by your wisdom and find strength and courage to know and accomplish your purposes in the midst of these troubling times. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. That all peoples of the earth, especially the most vulnerable among us, be kept safe. Let us pray to God for the special needs of our congregation, for Jackie, Mark, Eric, and Paul, and Rebecca, the Brown family, for Marion and Stan, Mari and Sylvia, Megan and Warren, for Melissa, Gail, Amy, Robin, for Ernie and Francis and Ned, Mark and Julie, for Tony, for Svetlana, for Jim, for Rob, Kelly, Sue, Susie, Stephen, for Mary and Russell and Nikki and John, for Jean and Anne, and Cindy, and all those we now name or hold in the quiet of our own hearts. O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. That we, your people, may find joy and compassion and unity. We may find new ways to connect and love one another. Let us pray to God in thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays. For Dan, Lisa, Verena, for Chad, Suzanne, Kelsey, for Renee, Christopher, Christy, Carmina, for Trey and Daryl and Sarah, for Charlie, Virginia,
Randall, and David. And for those celebrating anniversaries, Dave and Jean, Jeff and Jane, George and Val, Peter and Susan. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer,
that we may have patience as your work in the world unfolds, that we do not fall into despair but rise in hope. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer,
that those who have died, especially Evelyn Wolfe, may find peace and joy among the communion of saints. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
God, whose vision spans all the ages of the earth, help us to see beyond this moment and to embrace the wider perspective of your whole creation. Deliver us from fear and lead us into a way of love and justice that makes room for all peoples. Send your Spirit among us that we may know the healing power of your love. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus, the reconciler of the world. Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you today and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the risen Christ.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia,
alleluia,
alleluia. Alleluia.